We're going to jump in to the passage just now in Luke 5, but I want to do just a little step back for a few moments first. Whenever we think, and actually in Luke's gospel, for Peter and Andrew, for James and John, we don't read the "follow me" words. They're not there in this passage. Why is that? And how do we understand what is going on? So with the incident, Matthew 5, 1 to 11, but what's happening? Is it an isolated incident? I'm going to say to you, actually no, it's been a process of Peter and Andrew, James and John actually discovering Jesus. Over how long, we're not particularly sure. But actually in John chapter 1, we read a whole lot about it. Andrew, Peter's brother, was the first one to meet and see Jesus. And it's whenever Jesus was being baptized by John. And Andrew then runs to his brother and says, "Come and see the promised one." And it's Andrew who introduces Peter to Jesus. And then, Jesus has moved from Nazareth to Capernaum, and he's living down in this big, busy fishing village town beside the sea, beside the Sea of Galilee, or Gennesaret, or Tiberias, or whatever. Isn't that right, Patty? So Jesus is now living down at Capernaum. He's beginning to start his ministry. And over a period of time, Peter, Andrew, James and John have seen him, have met him. And that's where we come to today. John the Baptist is baptizing Jesus. Andrew sees him. Andrew says, "Peter, come and see." Peter, then Jesus meets Peter. Peter meets Jesus. And Jesus says to him, "From now on you will be called Cephas," which means rock. What's going on? Then, in today's passage, well, actually before this then, chapter 4, Jesus has been preaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. He gets thrown out. They take him out to a cliff. They're going to throw him off the cliff. This is all happening in the village, in the town. And what's going on? Then we read in Matthew 4, they end up in Simon's house, Peter's house in Capernaum. Peter's mum isn't well. Jesus is there in the house. Jesus heals Peter's mum, and we're told she gets up and starts caring for the people, feeding the people in the house. She's sick. That evening, word spreads. Everybody's bringing their sick to the house, Peter's house in Capernaum. The place is just buzzing. Peter's there. In the morning, Jesus disappears, goes out to a solitary place. He's praying to his Father. And the disciples come to him and they say, "Everybody's looking for you." And he says, "We'll need to go extra places. We need to go to other places because people are looking for me, or because I need to preach the good news of the kingdom." So this is all going on beforehand, folks. And then the passage that Patty read for us is where we get to today. But really what has been happening? When the synagogue was shut, says William Barclay, Jesus took to the open road. So he'd been thrown out of church. The religious leaders were beginning already to hound him. And so Jesus, taken to the open road, finds himself on the beach in Capernaum. And at the start of the passage, he's speaking to the crowd. But Peter already has sensed his authority. The disciples already had sensed his authority. When he speaks, he doesn't speak like the scribes and the Pharisees. He speaks like one who has authority. Says Luke chapter 4, verse 32. In Peter's own house, they had saw his power as people are healed miraculously. As actually the lady who's serving them tea has been healed miraculously. Then we get to the beach. And Peter and his friends have just arrived in from a night's fishing that hasn't gone well. And they've pulled up the nets and they're on the shore and they're mending the nets. And Jesus is speaking on the beach and there's a crowd that's gathered. And the crowd's gathering bigger and bigger. It's the boat belonging to Peter. There's a message being shared on the shore. The disciples are mending their nets. And then in verse 3, Jesus comes to Peter and he says, could I use your boat as a makeshift pulpit? Apparently, the geography of the area is that around that place in the Sea of Galilee, there's lots of inlets with high walls or high hills, not quite mountains, cliffs, meadows, whatever, that rise away from these inlets. So it's most likely that this inlet was where Peter, Andrew, James, and John kept their boats. That was their spot. Don't you dare touch it. You know what we're all like. So that was their spot. Did Jesus choose it deliberately? But Jesus is there, and as the word from him goes out over the tide, and everybody's in an amphitheater, if you like, it was a perfect place to hear. So Jesus had chosen it deliberately. Wee quiz for you. What have we got on the screen? An ice hockey player, particular team. Oh, talk to me. The Steelers from the Sheffield Steelers. Why are they called that? Sheffield is a steel town. Okay. Talk to me, please. Why the Giants? Finn McCool. Just Finn McCool? Samson and Goliath, next door. Okay. Here's one for you. I'm so current. Macclesfield Town. Anybody watching a couple of weeks ago in the FA Cup? Amazing. Known as... Not quite... Well, yes, they are Slayers of... Roger? Somebody shouted it out. Michael, thank you. The Silk Men. Why? Brilliant. So they manufactured silk. So the Silk Men, I kind of think, why the Silk Men? And then, because it's a town known for this thing again, Emily. God in the ordinary stuff of life, folks. Capernaum was the fishing town. Interesting little phrase at the end of this passage that ties in with that. From now on, I'll make you fishers of men. But here, Jesus, Capernaum was just a really, really busy fishing town. Apparently, the lake was just stacked. And so there was either 7 or 9 towns. You know, you remember reading about the Decapolis? So the 7 cities or the 9 cities. All around the lake, because it was a huge fishing industry, like the Sheffield Steelers, the Belfast Giants, Macclesfield, whatever, that's the point. But, folks, from the word from the boat, I want to think about wonder in the boat. What happens? And maybe actually just to keep us refreshed, let's read that little passage again. If you have a pew Bible there, when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Then Simon Peter saw this. He fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men." Folks, as we look at the passage, it starts with a request. Put out into deep water and let down your catch. Dale Ralph Davis, one of the commentators, says, Jesus' request was both insensitive and irrational. Kind of been working hard all night. But here, boys, look, take them. I mean, they're fixing, tidying up their nets, putting them away for the day until they go back out that evening. And Jesus says, take the nets and let's go again. If you were Peter or one of the fishermen, what would you be thinking? See, nobody's, you're afraid to say it. You're a carpenter. What do you know? Yeah? You stay in your boat, I'll stay in mine. Pun intended. Jesus' request was both insensitive and irrational. Don't know when it happened, but in John chapter 2, where Peter and Andrew at the wedding in Cana, where Mary said, do whatever he tells you. Because this is all happening at the same time, folks. It's not an isolated incident. There is a request from Jesus, in essence, that makes no sense. Oh, here we go again. There's a response. There's a response that comes. I'm just going to press buttons to see if anything comes back up, but we can manage without. Nah, we're going to keep going. There's a response from Jesus, or the response from Peter. It says, because you say so, I will let down the nets. Again, Jeff Lucas, I just read in my devotions during the week, says, the territory of self is heavily defended. That made me chuckle. The territory of self is heavily defended. Oh, what is going on? Sorry, folks. We're done. Lord, because you say so, I'll do it. How do you read it? Michael Wilcox says, we can guess the tone of Simon's answer and imagine the expression on his face. And then he goes on to say, grandmother and eggs comes to mind. But you can sense the tone of Simon's voice. You can imagine the expression on his face. Lord, because you say so, I'll do it. That's the spirit that's here. Obedience, though, when it makes no sense. The trust fall. Lord, I don't understand what you're saying to me, but because you're saying it, I'll do it. Now, you need to be very careful in those grounds. But Jesus, is Simon thinking, look, Jesus, you keep your faith to the synagogue, to Sunday. But you see, when it comes to my job, I know best. How wrong was he proved? But there's a request from Jesus that doesn't seem to make sense. There is a response from Peter that maybe seems grudging. But the result, verses 6 and 7, they caught such a large number of fish, the nets began to break. They had to call their friends in the other boat, and both boats were filled. Again, one of the other scholars says, Jesus tips very well. Was this a thank you from Jesus? It's a bit tongue-in-cheek. But the Lord blesses those who serve him. Now, are those blessings necessarily material? Not always, no. But there is a blessing that comes from obedience. And are we seeing that here? it results, folks, also in repentance. Because it seems actually in the very boat, Peter, we read, well, what is, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. In fact, he falls on his knees before Jesus' knees. And he says, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Dale Ralph Davis says, Peter sees who Jesus is. And that helps him see who he is. I read what I read at the beginning of the service, that passage from Isaiah. You know, how, do you not know? Have you not heard? Can I ask you, folks, and I ask myself this, when is the last time you've been surprised or amazed at Jesus? When there's something's happened in your faith that has caused your heart just to burst. Or you're just saying, thank you, Lord. Oh my goodness, I just didn't get it. Is that what happened in the boat with Peter? And they've seen people healed. Peter's seen his mum healed. The stories are legend. Jesus has just used my boat for a pulpit. We're done for the night and we're exhausted, but we trust him and we go out into the lake and there's this amazing catch of fish and the nets are bursting and the boat's actually, John James's boat's full as well. Who is this guy? I actually now understand who he is. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, said John the Baptist. It's all beginning to come together. And he falls before Jesus and he says, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Just to prove that I'm very conservative. And John Calvin says, hey, how good is that? No one ever attains clear knowledge of self unless he has first gazed upon the face of the Lord. Let me read that again, please. No one ever attains clear knowledge of self unless he has first gazed upon the face of the Lord. Folks, as Dale Ralph David says, Peter sees who Jesus is, it helps him see who he is. Folks, when we see who Jesus is, it helps us see exactly who we are before him. And so Peter falls before Jesus in repentance. Like Isaiah chapter 6, woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. And the reaction here, folks, second part of verse 8 through to the first part of verse 10, all his companions, Peter's companions, were astonished. Chapter 4, verse 22, all spoke well of him. Chapter 4, verse 28, all were furious with him, threw him out of the synagogue, went to throw him off a cliff, the Lord Jesus. Verse 36, in chapter 4 of Luke, all were astonished at his teaching. And here in the boat, all are astonished. All his companions asking all sorts of questions. The wonder that's in the boat that comes from a request that makes no sense to repentance and a reaction of amazement and wonder at who Jesus really is. Verses 10 and 11, just as we begin to draw to a close, is walking from the boat. So the boat's come into shore. Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid, verse 9. Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men. Verse 10. And so they pulled up their boats on shore, left everything, and followed him. There's the follow. We don't read in this passage, follow me, but that's what Jesus is saying to us. In a deeper sense here, Michael Card says, in a deeper sense, Jesus casts his net and catches four men who will become key leaders among the 12. In the fishing village, In the town that's known for fishing, Jesus says, I'm going to turn you into people who fish for men, not out in the lake. And for the next 3 years, they follow him. Do they give up the boats completely? Do they walk away from the business? Possibly not. Because let me take you one last place. Clicking again. It's not there anymore, Gordy. Let me take you one last place. Peter's position here, verse 8, he's on his knees before the Lord. Verse 8, second part, Peter's admission. Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. So his position, he fell on his knees. His admission, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. And then his commission, from now on you will catch men. And they're on the beach, possibly at their little harbor. And 3 years later, after the cross, and after we've been focusing on Peter here, after Peter's denial of Christ, they're back on the beach. Peter says, I'm going out fishing. And off the head, on the boats, back in many senses to what you know. So Peter's position here in John 21 is that he's back in the boats and he's back fishing. And they look across from the boat and they've worked hard all night and they've caught nothing. Does that sound familiar? Because they're back in the familiar, on the lake, in the boat. And there's a stranger on the shore. And the stranger shouts, throw the net out the other side. Again, you're thinking, what do you know? And they do it. And there's an amazing catch of fish. And the nets are breaking. And they have to call James and John. Hang on, wait a minute. It's the Lord. Their position is back out in the lake, fishing. They come in and Jesus has cooked them breakfast in his tenderness and compassion. He says to Peter, come on, we'll have a chat. And they're walking up the beach. And Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love three times. And Peter getting more filled with angst as the conversation goes on. But it's an admission, folks. Peter's position is fishing back in the beach. Peter's admission is that he knows he's let the Lord down three times, denying him at the cross. And then Jesus' words, end of the conversation. Peter, come follow me. Why do you go there, folks? For 3 years, Peter followed Jesus from the boat on the lake. And he let the Lord down. But I want to say to you this morning, that's not the end. And for you and for me, that's not the end. So if you're sitting in church this morning and you're thinking, Lordy, Gordy, you don't know. You don't know me, my heart, my life, my behavior, my whatever it might be. Can I say to you from Scripture, it's not the end. But Jesus asks us, well, what's your position? What's your admission? And he wants to give us a commission where he says to us this morning, come follow me. What's in the past is in the past. If you come with a repentant heart, what's in the past is in the past. Come follow me. Folks, there's so much we can learn from this passage. And I pray, God in the ordinary stuff of life, as Jesus comes and preaches from Peter's boat, but the wonder and amazement that happens in the boat. And there's obedience when it makes no sense. But it's trusting the one whom you trust with all your heart. Maybe the big question for each of us this morning is, what's it like in our hearts as we walk from the boat And don't let past failure be the thing that defines you, but let it be the heart of God that is full and free and wants us to come in relationship with Him and serve Him.